What is the 1888 message? Is it biblical? Chapter 10. The soul-winning effectiveness of the 1888 concepts. Introduction. If clearly understood and presented to the world, the accomplishments of Christ's sacrifice will move human hearts as no other truth can. Such truth, presented together with the fulfillments of prophecy and our major doctrines, will bring the phenomenal soul-winning power that prophecy indicates will be in the latter rain and in the loud cry of Revelation 18. This evangelistic efficiency, says Ellen White, might have been ours in carrying the truth to the world, as the apostles proclaimed it after the day of Pentecost, but it has been, in a great degree, lost to our work in consequence of the rejection. In a great measure of the 1888 message is not the recovery of that most precious message, therefore priority for the world church, the Bible evidence. The gospel in its full truth has a built-in phenomenal power that drives it forward, impelling even lukewarm, but honest-hearted, church members to awaken and proclaim it. The motivation will not be fear or conference, pressure or promotion. The gospel truth itself will function like dynamite, the Greek word dunamis, as the former rain. Pentecost is the model for the measure of success God has always intended for ultimate Seventh-day Adventist evangelism. The latter rain is to be even more abundant than was the former rain. The grand success of the final evangelism thrust. Three angels fly in the midst of heaven, indicating a limited worldwide work. In contrast, a worldwide work of unlimited appeal is the great power of this mighty angel. It is light, not noise, indicating that the angel proclaims a clearer view of the gospel of righteousness by faith. With everyone who then goes to Sabbath school, 10, will press in to go along. When a church understands the pure gospel, its message becomes self-propagating. This is an example of how the message itself has the power within it to motivate to successful witnessing and soul winning. The motivation is not superficially charged with effervescent emotion, but the solid biblical truth of righteousness by faith together with doctrines gives unwanted efficiency to its proclamation by leaders and people alike. The efficiency will be in the content of the message, not the personality or abilities of the speaker or his equipment. The full truth of righteousness by faith is self-liberating. Honest conviction of the truth of the loud cry concepts gives believers no rest until they proclaim it. Uneducated lay members will do more than show videos. They will themselves personally proclaim the message once they understand how good is the good news. Legalistic, egocentric motivations will be overcome. Almost unbelievable prophecies of last day's conversions that are solid and lasting. Obviously, even some government leaders will respond. Some highly placed Roman Catholic officials, perhaps in the Curia, will step out fearlessly. What will motivate them to sacrifice all for the third angel's message? The truth of the efficacy of the atonement, which has long been counterfeited by Rome. An understanding of what happened on the cross, what Christ as the Lamb of Revelation accomplished, the extent of the atonement. This will constrain or compel the honest and hard to break the bands that have held them back all these long decades. Summary. The honor of God, the vindication of Christ and his sacrifice, require that the great controversy between Christ and Satan conclude in a blaze of glory that humbles the pride of man in the dust. The Holy Spirit will manifest himself in his capacity as the Spirit of truth. That truth will be more than mere doctrinal facts. He who says he is the truth will be revealed as the Lamb of the Book of Revelation, the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The lips of the stammerer will proclaim the message, the halt will carry it. The essential, unique elements that made the 1888 message most precious will accomplish these results. General conclusion. These prophecies of the glorious conclusion of the Gospel Commission have been cherished by the Seventh-day Adventist Church as God's promises to the patriarchs of a Messiah to come, and were cherished by the ancient Jews. When he came, they rejected him. Likewise, when the message that was the beginning of the fulfillment of these grand prophecies came to us a century ago, we, again, just like the Jews, rejected it in a great degree. If in a journey we lose something most precious, would not prudence dictate that we recover it? To this day, 1999, the General Conference have never comprehended it, and thus permitted the world church to know what are the essential elements that made that message unique, assuming that our possession of the Ellen White writings is sufficient. They have maintained consistently that the church does not need to recover it. Some even insist that recovering it would be dangerous. As a church, we have long told the world that time is short. Now we see the very fabric of society becoming so rotten with the corruption that Revelation 18 verses 2 and 3 describes that we face the prospect that humanity will soon pass a line beyond which they will be incapable of understanding the message. Should we not learn from the Jews, allow the 1888 messengers, Jones and Wagoner, to speak and recover the message that Ellen White said is most precious? When will we have a better opportunity?